Okay, boys, so today's daf is daf Kif Dalet. We're holding at the Mishnah towards the top of the Omud. And we're continuing to make distinctions between the Mikdash and the Medina, as we've had in the previous Mishnayas. And the reason, as we said, is because in each case, there's a loch of Ein Shavus B'Mikdash, and therefore certain Drabonans that normally would apply B'Medina outside the Beis HaMikdash, the Chachamim were more lenient when you're dealing with in Yonim of the Beis HaMikdash. So, our Mishnah gives us another case. Boizkin melach al gabi kevesh b'shvil shlo yachliku. The Kohanim had to go up the kevesh, the ramp, towards the Mizbeach. And the reason why they had to go up the ramp is because they had to do various avoidos, like we'll see in the Gemara in Yetz Hashem shortly. Unfortunately, sometimes that Mizbeach could have been wet and it could have been slippery, especially in the good old days and times of the Mishkan, although that was, of course, in the Midbar. But nevertheless, there was no roof there, so you could have a situation where it was raining. And if it was raining, then the kevesh would be slippery. So they used to go and put out some salt on the Mizbeach, on the kevesh of the Mizbeach, so that the Kohanim shouldn't slip off. Umemalen mi boir hagoyla umi boir hagodoyl begalgal b'shabbos. You're also allowed to go and fill up water from a special boir hagoyla and boir hagodol. Both of these were, says Rashi, in the Lishkas HaZorah, and you're allowed to use a galgal. A galgal means a somewhat sophisticated pulley system where you got the water up and down by making a ganze machine that was able to go and bring the water up. And you're also allowed to go in Be'er Hakir B'yom Toif. On a Yom Tov, you're allowed to go and take the water from Be'er Kir. What's so special about Be'er Kir, and why is it called Be'er Hakir? Mi'etshem will see on the...
Kar or Kir?
You'll see a Mi'etshem. I'm saying Kir specifically, not by mistake. Mi'etshem will see on the Omid Beis when we get there.
Question.
Yes, Rabbi Kohn.
Boizkin Melech, it's going to melt. Why did they use sand instead?
Exactly for that reason, so it would melt.
To melt. So what's the purpose?
For the snow, they put salt on it.
If you want to put salt to prevent them from slipping, put something over there that's going to remain there instead of putting something that's going to
change. I mean, I see with my own eyes that the workers in my brother on a snowy day, they throw salt outside. I see it.
On ice.
On snow also.
But here it says rain. Here it says
what's
rain.
What's the difference?
It says Geshomen.
It's not raining B'shas Masa. It's after the rain. Now it's slippery.
What are you saying? He's saying
but I say we should see the Gemara, and hopefully it will be for Enfid as we see the Gemara. Anyway, and our Mishnah said that you're allowed to go and do this in Shabbos. Now, we didn't speak about what would be the potential Isser. What's the problem? Why can't you? Everybody salts their challah on Shabbos. Nobody says it is a problem. It has to be Dafka B'Mikdash, not B'Medina. What's the problem of putting down salt on the Kevesh? We will see Amir Shem as we develop the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Rami Le Rav Ika mi Pashrunya. Rashi says Pashrunya is the name of a place. So Rav Ika mi Pashrunya asked Rava. Tanan, we learned that a Mishnah, Boizkin Melech al Gabi a Kevesh, Beshil Shalo Yachliku. Why did it tell us about the Kevesh? After all, it could be raining outside, it could be slippery on the floor outside. Vos epis dafke the Kevesh in the Zbech. Izoch Mashma, B'Migdash in, B'Medina loy, dafke in the Beis Migdash, and not B'Medina. Aha. Okay, Frank Timora, many, I'll ask you a kasha. Chotzer, sheniskalkila b'meigshamim, if it started to pour, and the chotzer now has tons of water, and people want to be able to walk in the chotzer without getting in the blotter, or without slipping, what should they do? Maybe teven umaradaba. Go and bring out teven. Teven is like straw. Umarada, and you scatter it, you spread it out on the chotzer. Aha. So what do I see? That even in a regular chotzer, not in the Beis HaMikdash, you're also allowed to go and scatter tevin. So what's so special about our Mishnah that you're allowed to go and spread out the melech al gabe kevesh? It's the same thing as B'Medina. We said in our Mishnah, B'Mikdashim B'Medina loy, we see from this braisa even B'Medina. Everything more shani tevin, the loy mevatali. There's a big difference between tevin and melech. Tevin, you're not mevatali, you take it away. So now we have the clue, what's the problem of putting out melech in the first place? So Rashi tells us that when it comes to either melech or teven, I might have a concern about ashvuye gumais. What's ashvuye gumais? Ashvuye gumais means that when you have in the ground outside, or for that matter inside, and you have holes, If you were to fill up those holes, that's called Ashvuye Gumais. What's the problem with Ashvuye Gumais? So either if it's inside the house, it could be a tolda of binyan, that you have holes in your ground, you call up the super, go and fill it up with some sort of cement, and therefore, by going and filling it up with any type of material, Mashva Gumais means flattening it out, straightening it out, that could be a tolda of boina, of binyan. Same thing is when you have outside in the fields, anything having to do with the ground, then it becomes tolda of choyresh. When you want to go make the grounds either with ditches, without ditches, make it flatten, unflatten, all of that has to do with harisha in the karka. Okay, so what's the problem over here? So Rashi's explaining that when you put tevin outside, were a person to leave it there permanently and not take it away, would he be to be mevatalit, then you'd have a potential problem Ashvuye Gumais, because until now, as a result of the rain, the ground can become either muddy or like a swamp, and therefore if people are walking there, you can now have potholes developing, like you have potholes here too, every once in a while after adverse climactic or weather conditions. So you could have the same type of thing. By putting the tevin there, were you to leave the tevin there permanently, that would act like a filler, be mashva gumais, and that would be problematic on Shabbos. However, since you take the tevin away, and you don't leave it there, why do you take the tevin away? You only leave it there zeitweilig, temporarily, when things are slippery and muddy and mushy. When everything calms down and everything is normal again, you take that tevin away, says Rashi, and you devote it lemachal b'haima or letit hachoymais, either to use for cattle fodder, for animal food, or you use it for tit hachoymais, meaning that you go and grind it up and use it somehow and make it to one.
So you're saying you allow the holes in the ground, you don't care about it after the rain? Oh, it's just to smooth out?
The reason why you put the tevin there is because it's raining. And either people will slip, or they get full of mud, and therefore they put the tevin.
That goes away.
Were you to leave the tevin there permanently after the rain is over, then you have a potential Ashvuye Gumais problem. However, since you don't leave it there, and you take it away, you recycle it, oh, very good. Right. Therefore, there's no Ashvuye Gumais problem. Aha. Masha Enkein, Legabe the Melach, the assumption at this point in the Gemara is that I have no use for the Melach after I've scattered it out, spread it out on top of the kevesh, and so therefore, were I to go and spread that by medina outside the base of Midrash, I'd spread it out on the ground, it would be a potential Ashvuye Gumais, because I would not collect it together. The reason why in the kevesh and the base of Midrash they were not machmir on this is because since in the base Midrash we hold Ein Shavus B'Midrash, we don't have to be goyzer that they're doing some sort of binyan in the base Midrash by putting the melech on the ramp. So therefore, bottom line is, why are you allowed to go and put the melech on the ramp and not outside by Medina? Because the gabe, the einzig shaila would be this Ashvuye Gumais shaila, which is a binyan type of shaila. It's not real binyan, but it's mechseke binyan. It's a drabonon. Outside the base of Midrash, that would be prohibited because mechseke binyan is a drabonon, a shvuz, but ain't shvuz from Midrash. Therefore, in Midrash, you are allowed to go and spread out the salt. So why do we allow tevin outside the base of Midrash? Why don't we have the same problem? Because the tevin you're not going to leave there, you're going to take it away. It's only a temporary fix. So therefore it doesn't look like Ashvuye Gumais. If you look at the Rashi, Le'mavatale, Rashi in the middle of the Amud Le'mavatale, about 10 lines lower than we were learning in the Gemara, Le'mavatale, V'lekemishim Ashvuye Gumais, we're not concerned. The Melacha Yudav Shabbos, to have a kibinyan, it's not real binyan, it's kibinyan, mechse kibinyan. Aha. The meaning the chazal machal b'haima, oy letzita choymes, loy mevatalei hasam. He's not going to leave it there, he's going to take it away. It's just there provisorish, only temporarily. Ava melach, kish, misha nidras beregel, as soon as people are going to start stamping on it, walking on it, after all, that's why you're putting the melach down, because it's slippery. Loichazi, what are you going to use it for? Well, mistama, probably mevatalei, and therefore, Uba Medina, it's Asur, Mashenk in the base of Migdish, since it's only a chshash, mechse kibinyan, ain't shvus v'migdish, you're allowed to use it on the rack.
But if we talk about shvus and migdish, talk about what's part of the avodah. Walking in is not part of the avodah.
Of zeh good to recall, your mummy should have helped us out to understand the next shekul yomar. It's only ravacha b'rei the rabba l'ravashi. Hai melech echidami. What do you do with that melech? What are his intentions with the melech when he puts it on the rack? in mavatle, if you're going to be mavatle, which is what Rashi assumed, and that's also the assumption of the Gemara, because that's the distinction that we made between melech and teben. If teben, you're not mavatle, but Rashi said melech, what are you going to use it for after people are stepping on it? Umistam mavatle. So vei Gemara, you're going to be mavatle, meaning you're going to leave it there permanently. Some of this salt is going to stick to the ramp, and after a while it's going to develop a whole crust and a whole layer, and you're just going to have an additional layer on top of the kevish. You're going to be moisiv al binyan, and you're not allowed to be moisiv al binyan because it says in the Torah, Hakul b'chsav miyad Hashem olai hiskel, that everything that was done regarding the Beis Hamikdash and the Mizbeach, everything was done al pi nevuah that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave to David HaMelech, exactly how to build it, what dimensions, what size. You cannot add, you cannot subtract. Elamai vidalei, come avatali. You're going to tell me, no, he's not going to mevatali. He's going to collect the salt after the Mizbeach is dried out, after the rain is over, it's no longer slippery. They're going to collect the salt together. So ibazoi, so at the time that it's on the ramp of the Mizbeach, how can the Kahanim go and do avoida by going up on the ramp? Kahavi chatzitza. It is chatzitza. And chatzitza, the Rashi brings, we had this Gemara, of course, back when we were learning Kodshim, that Kahanim are not allowed to go and do avoida if they're standing on top of anything. They have to stand with their bare feet on the Ritzbah because it was freezing. That's why they had a special fire in the Beis HaMoikid where they would go and warm their feet up from time to time. So they're not allowed to even stand on somebody else's foot. In other words, you have two Kahanim together. Reuven says to Shimon HaKohen, my feet are freezing. Maybe I could just stand on top of your feet just for a second. No, no, no. Not only because the other guy is not going to be very happy with it. He says, it's cold for me too. But you know, that is a chatzitza. So therefore, don't you have a chatzitza of the salt underneath the feet? Everything in Mora by Lochas Eivorim Lekevish to Lav Avoidi. Why would the Kahanim go up the Kevish in the first place? Most of the Zrikas Adam, except for Chatzis, but most of the Zrikas Adam was done from down below. Person was on the floor of the Azara, and he'd give a shoot, he would go and throw the blood against the Karnas HaMizbeach. He didn't have to go up. If he didn't have to go up, when typically did they go up the ramp? When they brought up the Evarim or Pedarim, either the Aymarim by all the Kabunas, or the Evarim by the Karban Tamid, or by Karban Oyla, they brought it to the top. Says the Gemara, Lav Avoy, just say, you can avoid it. Ainach Hanami, it's like a nice, it's good and fine and vile. But Lamas, it's not a Ma'akev in any of the void. If, Chas HaShalom, any of the Evorim or Pedorim afterwards became Tomei, or became Pasul Biyoitze, or they were lost, they're missing, they were stolen, whatever it happens to be, it's still a Kushra Karban as long as you did the Zerika properly.
Yeah, but Halacha certainly one of Dalad this only if you shechted Mamash there, but in general they didn't, they shechted in a special place. So Halacha, it says clear, there's Mishnayis and Zavachim, Halacha is one of the Dalad Avoidas.
You're talking about Halacha.
You could be Mafago, you could do everything. So why? Halacha Zadam, of course.
Halacha Zavarim, Evarim.
Yeah, but when he put it down, the salt, they had to do Halacha Zadam also. They had to do
no,
both.
No, the dam, except for the Chatos, what he said, was below Lamatim Yichot HaSikra. It was on the Ritzvah.
In general, they didn't throw things.
The halachas, the evorim is different. That you're talking about the halacha, there are four avoidas, as you pointed out correctly. You have the shechita, you have the kabbalah sedam, you have the halacha sedam, you have the zrika sedam. The Gemara back in Masechta Zvachim spoke at some length about the fact that halacha is one of the avoidas. It's efshel v'tula. You can mevatel it. How can you mevatel it? By going and shechting right next to the mizbech, so you don't have to be moilach the dam anywhere because the dam is already there. Therefore, the Gemara had a machloikis whether or not it could be that a machshev is pigul b'shas the halacha zadam that might not be mafagel because it's halacha she'en tzrich, it's a halacha. You could. So the question is, when you do have halacha, whether since there are opportunities to have it without, okay. But anyway, that was halacha zadam. We're not finished. It's all the half a minute.
We're
still in the half a minute.
Actually, they did use
the Pinchas also in the half a minute. In the half a minute, the Gemara assumes that halacha zevorim is not considered to be an avoid the sin. It's not an avoid that's ma'akev in the hechsher of the carbon. The carbon is totally kusha, even if you're not, if you don't put the evorim on top of the mizbeach. And therefore, even though the kahanim, yes, that was part of their ritual and the ceremony, they brought it up, but since it's not ma'akeh, the Gemara says it's not navoida, and therefore there's no din of chatzitza. Frank Timur of a lawyer, you're telling me that it's not navoida. So says Rashi, what's the raya from this pasuk? Because it's vehikar ba'koyin, you gotta have to have koyhanim. If you have to have a koyin, it's a chasim and it's a yon avoid, because it wouldn't be an avoid, lechoyin, it would be mutter through a levi, through a zar, through Yisrael. The fact that the term is makban and a coin is a mashavaita tzion avoida. As it's not on the same madrig as the other four avoidas, because you can't be mafagal a carbon if you have a machsheves pigol b'shas haylochas evarim lekevish. But since it's a necessary part of every carbon lechavchila to take the evarim of term to tap on a mizbeach, so the avoida is an avoida. Is a avoida problem mit chatzitza? As which we learn, ema boylochas eitzim lemarocha the lava avoidi. Einachanami when the kahanim had to go and put up a Vorim Pedorim, they would not spread out the salt on the ramp because that would be a chatzitza, just like you asked. So when did they put out the salt? When they had to be moilach eitzel marocha. Avada, the marocha needs eitzim, otherwise it's not going to burn. You have to have logs of wood. However, that's only a machshir mitzvah, that's not the actual avoid itself. Since lav avoidi, then if the kehanim were scared that they're going to slip, they can go and spread out some salt, and that would not be a chatzitza because toseisish can avoid it. They're just taking up eitzim to the top.
So it's only done at certain points when
exactly right. And what did they do with the salt after that? They couldn't leave it there because it would be a problem of chatzitza. Moreover, if they're going to leave it there permanently, the Gemara said he's moisif ala binyan uksev hakol b'chsami yad Hashem. So what did they do with this salt? Rashi said before, what are they going to do with the salt after people stepped on it? So Rashi said that they used to use it afterwards for the oirois of the Beis Hamikdash. That they would go and be moileach the oirois. After all, the oirois, for instance, of the oila belonged to the kahanim. So they used to go and use that salt which had been put on the kevish, which was already a little bit wet and a little bit muddy or whatever from the kahanim walking up and down. I don't know why it's muddy, but at least it was tread upon by the kahanim. They collected that salt together and they used it for the oirois kachim.
Well, I mean, why did they do that in the mikdash? That's a private zah. He gave over the kohen the oiris. What he does at home, they gave
it doesn't say where they did it. Just like they could take the oiris on. That's just helping it out.
No,
if you look at Rashi,
it's possible.
If you look at Rashi, lochase varim lekevish, about 15 lines before the wide lines. Okay, anyway, back to Yigmar. So we've concluded that discussion about why our Mishnah says that you're allowed to do melech only in the Beis HaMikdash, not outside, because the melech inside the Beis HaMikdash, as well as outside, is a potential ashvuyei gumais mechse kibinyan problem. But since the Beis HaMikdash ain't shvus b'mikdash, there they permitted them to go and scatter the salt, but they didn't leave it there, so you don't have moisef al binyan, and it wasn't chatzitza because they only scattered it and spread it out when people would be moilech eitzim lemarach.
By the spreading out the soul.
I'm sorry, once again?
Why don't you say by the spreading the soul?
Yeah.
You have to make gumas.
Yeah, but this is a it would be a psikresha. Because just like when a person goes and shechs an animal and says, I didn't mean to kill the animal, he just wanted the blood. The fact of the matter is, psikresha, you cut off the head, it's going to die. Here you're going to go and put in the salt, you're going to fill up the gumas. Dorish Rava. Chotish in Eskalkal and Megisham. So now we are repeating the halacha that we said before, that an chotzer has a problem with maybe kshamim. On Shabbos, maybe Tevin, you can go and bring Tevin straw. Umardaba says Rashi means to go and spread it out on the chotzer. And like the Gemara said before, afterwards you're going to collect it and take it away and give it for the animals or make from it mortar. As Omele Rapapala Rava, but Tanya, I have a braisa that agrees with you in the etzem halacha, in the ikar halacha, but it says that you got to do it with a shinui. Voshte dot in the braisa, but Tanya, kishu murada, ain't a murada loy besal, voloy bekupa, ella beshulei kupa. When you want to go and spread out this tevin on Shabbos, you don't take it out from your normal basket, and you don't take it out of a normal kupa, a normal box. Ella beshulei kupa. Normally, we would define the word shulei kupa from the bottom of the box. Now, what difference does it make the bottom of the box or the top of the box? Rashi therefore doesn't say Shule Kupa bottom of the box. But you see the first wide line, Rashi says Shule Kupa means Shenishtabra Vinisharu Hashulaim. At one time this was a big box, and 90% of the box has already gotten destroyed, it's broken. You only have Abyssal left, the bottom of the box. Why are you supposed to spread out the Tev and Dafka from a broken box? Says Rashi, you shouldn't do it Kidera Choyl. Make a shinoi, epes ashtikl shina. So even though we allow you to go and spread out the tevin, and you're not going to be mevatel it because you're going to collect it later on, so therefore it's not going to be doimel ashvuye gumais, and it's not going to be mechse kibinyan. Obedoch macha shinoi. Don't do it the normal way. Add nocha shinoi to the process. But Rava, when he said the aloch, he didn't mention anything about the shinoi. Rava just said take tevin a mardaba. Of the brayza says you got to do it mit ashinoi. It's harder. Oikim Rava Moira Lei. So Rava took a Moira means the person that would go and repeat the shir, who usually number one was Masveret, and number two had a high pitched voice because sometimes the intercom system or the microphones weren't working. So they had this Moira that would go and say it with a loud voice. Vedorish Shatigedokt Devorim Shemart Lefneichem Toi Sein Biyadi. See, Rava was Mekayim Oidev Leiboy. She wasn't embarrassed to say, I made a mistake. What was the mistake? And therefore, don't go and spread it out normally, but go and take out a brach and a box and use that to go and spread out your tefillin.
See, Rav in that time didn't have to be a great speaker.
Yeah.
He could have been a terrible speaker, but he had an amida there, but it was said over his drashas.
Beautiful. Now, in the Mishnah, we have.
If the Dachal is a big concept in Halach, it's not. I mean, you find many dinim shalach. If the Dachal, don't do it.
Exactly right. So now we are in the Mishnah, Mamalim, you're allowed to go and draw up the water from the Boyer Hagoyle and Boyer Hagodol. These were very interesting names, but Rashi said they were both in the Lishkas Hagoz, the Boyer Hagoyle and Boyer Hagodol. You're allowed to do that big Galgal. Galgal means that it had a very sophisticated group of wheels, a series of wheels, that you were able to use metazah pulley to go and get the water up and to take it down again. It was a sophisticated thing.
Like the Mukhani?
Similar to the Mukhani that they had for the Kiyar. Exactly. And Mukhani, they say, is related to the word machine. So it's also a machine to go and get the water up and down. Now, but you're only allowed to do this in the Beis Hamikdash, not outside the Beis Hamikdash. Now, the Gemara assumes at the outset, what's the problem of using such as a sophisticated galgal to draw up the water on Shabbos outside the Beis HaMikdash? Because it makes noise. It makes clang and cling and bum and up and down when you're going and making it. Macht es a ganze Gerida. So what's the problem of a ganze Gerida? You're not allowed to be mashmiya koil on Shabbos. Now normally when we think of mashmiya koil, we think of music, met lullabies, met singing and all that type of thing, met instruments. Here the Gemara is assuming in the Havamina any noise is mashmiya kol and it is problematic. We'll see the Gemara is going to go through that.
If that's so, the case, then how come Gedoilim Hasid banging on the table on Shabbos?
Oh, we're going to talk about banging right now. Mamish Rabbi Kohen Givaldik Shkoich, you're helping us out.
I gave it to somebody this
Let's
morning.
See.
Some people use Hasid to bang on the door.
That's the Gemara, boys.
When they say Yalav Yavo, they don't do a clap.
Let's go and see.
When they say Yalav Yavo, they don't do a clap.
Rabbi Yisrael, let's see the Gemara. Ula Ikla Lebei Rav Menashe. Ula came to Rav Menashe's house. Asu Gabra Torah Vabava. He started knocking on the door. Like a person knocks on the door. Omar, he was quite upset. Apparently Rav Menashe was upset, or Ula was upset, and he said, Omar, man, hi, who is that that is making all that noise on Shabbos? Lischel guvei dekom mochel leil Shabbata. Now the woman's mochel leil Shabbata, Rashi says that he is being mechalel Shabbos because he's being moiled kol mashmiya kol, and that's osir. And therefore, as a bit of a play on words, he says just like he's being mechalel Shabbos, his guf should also be nischalel. Yep. In other words, not a loshen bracha, but he's saying is he's mechalel Shabbos and therefore, you know, and he said what he said. So now that's what either Rabbi Menashe or Ula said. It's only Rabbi said, no, the also ela koil shall share. The whole din of being moiled kol mashmiya kol means, but a musical instrument. A bestam is a lot of bang on the door. This is nishkapra play. Freitimor azoi, so this got problem. Eis ve'abaya malin b'dioifi u'matifa miyarek l'choyle b'shabes. You're allowed to do two things. One, you're allowed to be malin b'dioifi. Dioifi means a suction tube. A suction tube, if you want to go and take out water, l'mashal, from one container and transfer it to another container without going and pouring one into the other, particularly if they're large barrels. It's very hard to go and move one to the other. What you can do is use a suction tube. What's a suction tube? So Rashi tells us very, very simply, you have like a plastic tube where you put one side inside the container with the water. Then Rashi says you take the other side, put it in your mouth for a short moment, and go and suck in. So that sucks in the water like a straw. The water is now going to come from the container up to the top of the straw or on top of this tube, and immediately now take the other side of the tube and put it into another container, and then automatically the water is going to go from one to the other. Try it out, everybody say at home, you'll see it works perfectly. I'm sorry?
All liquids?
Oh yeah, any liquid. Yeah, I mean, other liquids are a little bit more difficult because they're heavier, but lighter liquids, it goes very nicely. Anyway, this is called bidioifi. The reason bidioifi, says Rashi, because the word dioi in Greek means two. P means, of course, a mouth. So every plastic tube like that has two mouths. One mouth you have in the container full of water, and the other one that is empty, and therefore you're able to go and transfer one to the other. Now this really has nothing to do with us. The ikar is the second halacha. What's the second halacha? Matif miyarek l'chayil. Besides matif miyarek, so Rashi says something which is very, very fascinating. They would have a kli, and they would make on the bottom of the kli a series of holes, and then they would fill up the kli with lamushal water, and as you would expect, the water starts dripping out of the holes. But that's only because there's the benefit of air pressure. Says Rashi, go and take a cover, a lid, and cover over that kli, and you'll see that none of the water will drip down. It'll stay all inside because of the effects of gravity. Aha. What happens if you were to go and remove the lid? All of a sudden you start hearing drip, 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 that the water comes out. Now, to be able to hear it, says Rashi, put underneath that first kli, put underneath it a kli matchis. Now you have metal, so the dripping on the kli matchis will make all of these sounds. Now, why does a person have to go and make this elaborate type of
air conditions? Happens all the time.
All the time. So now, the Gemara didn't have air conditioners, so they made this miyarek. Why did they do it l'chayla? When happens if a person is very, very sick, and you want to wake him up, but you don't want to wake him up and startle him, so therefore what you do is, you would open up the cover, slowly but surely, a drip, a drip, a drip, and slowly but surely he starts waking up, what's going on, and then moida'ani, and they wash his hands, neglavasa, etc. But you only do this for a chayla, you can't go and do this for a regular guy, because it's making noise. You're being moiled kol b'shabbos. Now, we're not talking about making some beautiful music, we're just talking about noise, noise, noise. Izzacharai Moilet Koil applies not only to beautiful music, but cliché, but any type of noise. A choyle here for our purposes, it is choyle masukin, or at least it has a michush. Stam a person that.
Which means he goes to bed.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay, anyway, so Matif Miyarek Lechoyle Bishabbos is Lechoyle in the Bori Lai. Sehechidami, Lab Dinim, isn't talking about that the Choyle is sleeping. The Kabbalists, and you want to wake him up. Shema Min Oiloi the Choyle, Osir, that you're not allowed to go and wake up your average individual by being Moilid Kol, only because he was a Choyle. Is the Chasim Moilid Kol is Osir, just like the one that was screaming at the fellow that was knocking on the door. The Tumor Loi, the tear, the kaboyle nainim. It's just the opposite. The person is awake and he cannot fall asleep.
Right.
And it's very important for a choyle to fall asleep. He needs his keiches. So to go and make him fall asleep, the mishtamaki kola dizimzumi. As a result of this dripping, it's a constant monotonous dripping. So it's almost like a lullaby, and slowly but surely the person starts falling asleep. The best rai is you see anybody that ever goes by subway from Manhattan to Brooklyn. The subway makes a koil rash gudel with all everything. 95% of the people all fall asleep, especially when they're over the bridge going from the Brooklyn Bridge, the Manhattan Bridge, when they're going from one to the other, because that constant monotonous noise causes people to fall asleep. Ah, so therefore, we're not talking about a case of nimve koboy lisser, we're talking just about the tir v'koboy
l'nei. But is it a pleasant sound, or just that it's annoying?
Forget, it is a pleasant sound. It's a kol dizimzumi. Oh, so making as an unpleasant noise, that's not a problem. A pleasant sound, which is like a lullaby, that's like a cliché, that's where you have the problem. Hamisham feroisim mnei oifis udulam mnei achaya mishamik kedarke mishabes ulvachli yisapek vli yitapeach vli yirakid gider shein oisim machal. This is one of Rabbi Cohen's favorite halachas. Is you have a person who is a shomer, he's a real shomer Shabbos, and on Shabbos he is watching not only Shemitah Shabbos, but he's watching the peiros because of the oifis. He sees that there are all types of birds that want to go and eat from the peiros. Udulam his gourds, his pumpkins, mnei achaya. Chai has chayus over there. So Meshama Kedark Meshabbos, you're allowed to go Meshama Kedark. But if you were to see Oifois and Loim and Chai is coming, Ubavad Shalom Yisapik, don't make noise. What Yisapik, Rashi says Yisapik means to go and clap. V'le Yitapech, Rashi says to go and beat on your, pound on your heart. V'le Yirakin, you shouldn't start dancing. Why? Because Kedar Shein Ois Mechol, because like they do in Choyl, and anything having to do with clapping and dancing, you're afraid that it come to a clay shear, and he might repair a clay shear, and might play from a clay shear. All of that is problematic.
So why don't they all clap?
I knew that you'd ask for this question.
Like I was taught.
Yeah, so you should talk and do kalachia. Anyway, anyway, praise the Mariat, my time. What's the problem of clapping and making all the noise? We're not suggesting that when you're clapping, you're making a beautiful clay shear. We're talking about just making noise. Is the chasimin b'chol oiludik kala? Also, is the chasimin you're not allowed to make any type of noise? So therefore, when he screamed at him for knocking on the door, he's right. You're making noise on Shabbos. Nothing to do with making noise. The reason why you're not allowed to go and make any actions, yisapik, yitapeach, yirakid, because if he's going to take action with his hands, I'm concerned that if oifis are going to come, instead of just clapping, sometimes the clapping is not going to do the trick. The oifis are going to continue. What are you going to do to get the oifis out? You're going to pick up a stone and you're going to throw a stone on Shabbos. Oh, you have a mukta, and if you're going to go more than four amas, if it's Rosh Hashanah, it's a chotzer, yeah, whatever, caramelist, the alishalas that we've had throughout the Masechta. Therefore, that was the problem. The problem is not making the noise, the problem is going and throwing stones. Aha. Okay. Women that used to go and play with nuts on Shabbos. Now, how did they play with the nuts? So says Rashi, they did it something similar to game of pool. If you're familiar with how they go and pool, they make it with Arashtoch. And so if you look at two lines from the bottom of the Omud, Mesachkois in Rashi, Mesachkois be'egoizim, legalgalon derech daf. That's how the women they play as a, it sounds like as a pool game that you go and hit it with a daf and
marbles.
Okay, fine. And it would hit one against the other. Is that the way you play marbles also? You hit one against the other? As Eitzachos says, yeah. Anyway, so this is something that the women would do because they didn't have to learn the daf. They didn't have to go and sit in Besmedish learning, so they were busy playing with the marbles or playing with a pool or whatever they were playing with these egoism. So Freiti Mora, Shteitachas is awesome. Now, why is it also in Shabbos? My time allowed to come by the color. Presumably, because every time one of the egoism hit the other egoism, it made such as a booming sound. Bang, boom, 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 and there's so much manka noise. And obviously, b'chol eludi kol is aser. And this is nishkei and kaklei shir. It wasn't a beautiful lullaby. This was just one thing hitting against the other. Is the charai moel kol is aser in the form of these marbles, form of these nuts?
But this was a game with
Lodovishalim Mishchavim. Now that's not the reason. The reason is not because moel kol. What's the ashmuye gumais? Says Rashi, because since you want to go and push one nut against the other, and you want to be able to go and do it like you play with marbles, if they're going to be all types of problems where the ground is not going to be level, so then the playing field will not be level. They're trying to go and hit one against the other and bang it, Sinishgai is going to fall into that small little pothole that's not going to go. So therefore what they might do before they start the game, they say, okay, Rabbi Isai or Rabbi Noitai or Rabbi Tzins, let's go and flatten out and square out the ground so that the marbles and the egoism should be able to go smoothly. Oh, so that's the problem. It has nothing to do with Moilet Koil. It's an Ashwiyeh Gumois issue. Okay, so the vow, we still don't have it. Oh, we have it from our Mishnah. Now we know why we got into this in the first place. So now let's bring our Mishnah. Isn't it because it's Galgal, we used to go and all these wheels would clang and bang against each other and make a lot of noise. So the base of Migdish ain't Shavuos B'Migdish. But outside the base of Migdish, you're now allowed to go and do that. It is a chasimin that you're now allowed to make noise, and this galga, when it makes noise, it doesn't start singing, it doesn't have a special opera where it is connected to it, it makes noise. It's like, that's nothing to do with it. The reason why you're now allowed to use as a sophisticated galgal method to bring up the water is because since you're able to bring up the water with relatively little difficulty without too much tircha. In other words, in the good old days, b'derech klal, if you wanted to draw water, you had to take a heavy bucket and schlep it and pull it up and pull it down. This galgal, you almost push the button. Now, mamish Shabbos, there was no electricity then. However, this was something that was worked with ease. Rashi says, since you're able to go and bring up the water relatively easy, what the person might do is say, oh, I have this huge opportunity, nobody's standing in line, I'm able to go and get all this water, I'm going to do it a few times, and what am I going to do with all this water? I can't drink all this water on Shabbos, but I can use it for ginosai and for chorbosai, I can go and pour it out for the gina, in other words, to go mimashka the gina on Shabbos. And bottom line is, of course, that you're not allowed to do, so gzeira. That was the Indian in Beis Hamikdash. We're not concerned about the Shem Yimali Ginosa Chabasa. But outside the Beis Hamikdash, I'm worried about the Shem Yimali. It has nothing to do with being Moilid Kol. So based on this, says Yimara, oh, outside is Gzeira Shem Yimali, is a Meimah Shara Lememla Bir Gilgala Bir Mechoiza. A Meimah said you could use such a Galgal system in Mechoiza. Omer, my time goes Rabbanan, Shem Yimali Ginosa Chabasa. Hochala Gina Eka Vlai Chorabe Eka. Apparently, Mechoiza was a relatively urban city where you didn't have too many gardens in Chorvis, so therefore there was no need for extra amounts of water, so I don't have to worry about that people are going to draw a second time and a third time for their Gina Chorva. So nothing to worry about. Obviously. However, says the Gemara, Kim de Chazor, subsequently, a Meimer saw the Toru Ba Kisna, that people were drawing up extra water. Rashi says, not on Shabbos, but during the week they were drawing extra water to go and be Shoyra Pishtan, in other words, to soak their flax and make it into nice linen. And now he said, oh, Habach Shemoyra, then maybe they're going to do the same thing on Shabbos. They have a new reason why they want to draw extra water. Not for the Gina, not for the Churba, but for the Pishtan. Therefore, Oslo, he said, no, we have to listen to that Gzeir of the Rabbanan, and therefore not use the Galgal outside the base of Migdash, even here in Mechoize with the Arno Ginois or Churvois. Now, we have at the end of the Mishnah that you're also allowed to go and draw Mibe'er Hakir B'yomtev, on Yomtev. Straight to my Be'er Hakir. What's the Be'er Hakir that you're talking about? See, Mora has two pshat. The first pshat is Omer Shmuel, Boir Shehikru Aleha Dvorim Hitiru. The word Kir comes to the word Kriya, like Vayikra, that they were calling out arguments to allow them to go and use this water. If you look at the top Rashi and the top line, the middle of the line, Shehikru Aleha Dvorim, Kishu'olu Min HaGoyla. When people came up from the Gulis time of Beis Hamikdash, they needed this water. The nimnu vehetirua ubitlu takones hashvus mimena lemalis emena begalgal lo yetiru el oisa levada. This was the only one that they were matir. Why? Because they needed the water, especially when they came up from Gulis Kineret Yisrael. One special be'er akir that they were matir. Says Rashi, Hikru Zalosh in Kriya, Sheviu Barayis and Devrayim Shiyesh Ben Koyach Lakar Vosman Nei Doichkan. This is like the Gemara that we've had already a number of times in our Masechta, the Kalhu Shekilu Chachomim Bamayim, that because of the fact that water is such a precious commodity, everybody needs water. So now on Shabbos, if you're not going to have any water, and these guys are coming up from the Goyle, the Homdish Kavasa, they forgot to bring along their Polish water, and you're not going to carry anyway if they're going to Shesarabim, whatever, if it's a Carmelist, amas, more than 4 amas.
Le regular.
So they were Michael, just like we have in the beginning of the Masech, the Pasi Berois with all the other types of kulas. So here they were also. So the reason why it's called Be'erakir, they didn't want to go make this as a blanket heter and kula. So they said a special groisa be'er.
He wants to show audio visual.
Oh, shkoyach. This is the Polish water, right?
That's the one you for Poland Spring.
Yeah, the Polish Spring. Yeah, shkoyach. When are they going to come out? Hungarian Spring. I'm waiting. Okay. But
it's not the Arab Spring.
Oh, zayeg git gezert. Anyway, so kidding. Coming back to our Gemara, so this is the Be'er Akira, special one Be'er, one of Gans Klal Yisrael that they were matter Kriya, because they brought rice to the bread. Pretty one Meisvei, lo kol ha'boyrois ha'kirois ha'karois heitiru elazul bavad. They weren't matter all the Be'er Akiras, only this one. In other words, there are a whole bunch of barakirs, only one that will matter. Pray tomorrow, be amr shehikru dvar malea, maizu bavad. The inyan of barakir is because of the lashon of kriya, that they made a ganza kriya mit argument, and they said, okay, we matter this one. But you're telling me that there were 100 azalcha barakiris, there was only one that they argued about, and that they will matter. They didn't have others in the same category. So what are you telling me? Not all the barakirs, there was only one barakir. What are you talking about? If you go today in Lamushal on near Sodom, you can go and get a Jewish guide or even an Arab guide, and they'll point out to you 9 different pillars that they say is the Ashes Light. This is the Ashes Light. This is became into salt, a pillar of salt.
They told it to me also when I was.
No, Ashes Light. Sorry, and it's Ashes, but they don't have Uvda. Same thing is. My wife was in the Sinai years ago, you know, when you were able, before it went back to the Egyptians, and at that time, they came to a mountain, they said, this is Har Sinai. If it's not this one, it's one over there, and if it's not this one, it's one over there. There were about half a dozen Har Sinai.
Jabal Musa, they call one Jabal Musa.
Exactly, same type of thing over here. So you're telling me you have many Boris Akiris, so it was only one that they brought, Dvorim Harbe, and they were Matir. So what's this Lashim, Yomar Shikr, Dvorim, Mai Zubavad. Elamar of Nachmar Yitzhak, forget about that Pshat, Be'er Maim Chaim, a brand new Pshat. So do a pusik. This was a solution of pusik in Yermia. Ki hokir bayir meimeha kein hikra ra'asa chomos v'shoyd yishamaba, etc. Anyway, it says ki hokir bayir meimeha. So to Gemara that this, what's the taich of ki hokir bayir meimeha? That this is a be'er of mayim chayim. Be'er mayim chayim means that it's water that flows as opposed to a contained well, which is Lemushel from rainwater. This was replenished each time from subterranean springs underneath. Ah, so therefore, this was the one that they were matir, this Be'er Akir. So now, it's not because Hikru Alea Dvorim Harbi, nothing to do with Kriya, but it's borrowed this Lashon from the Pasuk in Yirmiyah when it talks about Kihakir. And that's why when I said it earlier, it's Be'er Akir, it's not Be'er Akar, it's not cold water, it's not hot water, it's like the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, Kihakir Buy it. That is called Kakir because it has Mayim Chayim, there's a Mayim underneath. Says Rashi, it's from a Lashon Mekoir. That the Mekoir means that it has a subterranean spring, an origin that feeds this well with water.
But our wells have that. I'm sure they have their own aquifers.
Apparently, I'm not in the well business, but apparently lots and lots of wells are just boirois that have collections of water from a heavy rain. Heavy rain,
correct? That's a cistern that they.
Right,
but if you drill down, you tap into the aquifer.
They're bare of resources.
Anyway, so Lamasa, Hokim.
Being a boar and a bear.
It's a big difference, exactly. So that they were matzis, have nothing to do with kriya, has to do with a natural well. Gufa, loikolak boides akiroi seitiro, elizul bavad. This is what you just heard now from Brother Shai, that there are multiple boides kirois, multiple boides that have, or be'erois, that have this spring of water that supplies it, but they were not matter every single bar of Mayim Chaim El Zubavar, only one particular one. When, where, why? Ukshal B'nei Agoyla Chonu Aleha. The B'nei Agoyla were coming up and they were Choyna, they encamped near this big bar, this famous Be'er Akir. And the Vim that were there, they were matter. Who are these Nevim? Says Rashi, Chag, Zachari, Umalachi. V'lei Nevim Shebeneim, El Minig Avoysim B'yedeim. That what? That the Minig Avoys from that time, the Rebbes and the Vim, whoever was there, the Manhigim, they were the ones that paskin that from now on you can use the Be'er Akir when you're being oiler from Chutzlar, Eretz Yisrael, etc.
So all of Bnei Gelim was not oiler to call them. It was a special time when they came from
Zoy Zeitzchos,
the time of Ezra.
So it appears.
It was the machine they could use, everybody could use. We have the...
It doesn't say anything about... Here it doesn't say anything about the machine anymore. He just says to go and be malef from it on Shabbos.
Because we had all the pasuk baros and everything else, all the red, all that they could certainly use. Mm-hmm. I thought this was talking about a machine.
Me too.
The pasuk baros was made later, and there was only the golem. This is when they
first came. They're all under golem, they're always over the
golem. But this is the time they came up with
the golem. Maybe you're right. Rashi doesn't mention, but maybe you're right. Maybe it was Taka. Oh, Rashi is a Muslim and Begalgal. You're right. The brother Shai, just like Ruva said, Avada, this case where a kid is also talking about Galgal, normally you're not allowed to use it outside the Beis Midrash because Shem Yimale, the Ginosil Chabasai, or to make Kisna. The Navim were Matir, Chagzai Machal, Malachi, Mete Obis, everybody was Matir because all the Bnei Goyle, before the Beis Midrash, they were coming up, they needed the water, they were Matir, Begalgal, Yeshekoyach, were on a roll, on to the next Mishnah. So the Mishnah writes
every single one for the
other galgalim would be asr. A regular, normal type of well that you use, such as a galgal, would be prohibited.
But which ones are allowed?
This in Yish, in the base of Midrash too, in the base of Midrash too, and outside one. In the base of Midrash, you had the Bar Agur, the Bar Agudel. Outside, you had this famous Be'er Akir that they were
mad. One bar, boys.
One bar. On only that bar. If you want to know where it is, go and ask the guy. He'll show you 10 of them, which are today the Be'er Akir that they were mad. Zuk the Mishnah Vayita. Let's talk about Shrotzim. Everybody, that's favorite subject of everybody, Shrotzim. Shrotzim to be Migdosh. What happens if during the Avoida, the Kohen wants to do the Avoida, and he sees that there's a dead Sheretz? Now, we commonly think of a Sheretz to be a dead bug, especially a dead water bug. It looks geferlich, the learner, the mamishakis to shateno, you hate it, etc. That's not the Sheretz we're talking about. We're talking about one of the Shmoinish Shrotzim that if it were to expire, and a person touches it, the person becomes tame. So you want to remove this Sheretz from the Beis Midrash. Now, why is it so important to remove the Sheretz from the Beis Midrash? Number one, of course, it's repulsive. Number two, because maybe it's going to touch a carbon or touch something else. Yeah, vada. But we're going to see in the Gemara, and as we get into the Gemara, there's going to be a mandiyama that holds that you're not allowed to bring a sheretz into the base of Mikdash. And if you bring a sheretz to the base of Mikdash, you're over on the Isser of Falitamu Esmachaneim Asher Nishoichim Besoichim. Now, we're not talking about a person that brought in a dead sheretz, brought in that the sheretz was alive and kicking, and the sheretz died on its own. But nevertheless, we see from the Pasik that you're not allowed to bring shrotzim, dead shrotzim, into the base of Mikdash, and therefore, automatically, the Gemara assumes. The Mishnah assumes that you're not allowed to leave dead Shiratzim in the Beit Midrash, because the whole reason is, like Thomas Machaneim, they shouldn't go and bring Tumah into the Machane Shechina. So you gotta get it out. Now, if the Kohen were to pick it up with his fingers, then he's gonna become Tameh. And we want the Ganav to do the Avoida. So what do? You have to go and remove it with some other medium. So says the Mishnah, I have a good idea. The Kohen is wearing a langa avnet, as a langa gartel. Let him hold the gartel with his hands, and let him pick up the sheretz with one part of the gartel, without him touching the sheretz directly. Aye, the gartel is going to become tameh. Mask him. After Shabbos, you can go and type in. I'm sure that they had other spears, right? Other big day kohuna. So he would go and put on another gartel. Aye, whilst he's touching it with the gartel, won't he himself become tameh? The answer is no, he won't become tameh, because the gartel will act like a machitza, if you will, between him and the sheretz. Aye, but he's touching the gartel, and the gartel become tameh. So why doesn't he become tameh? Because the sheretz, of course, is a din of an avatoma. When it's going to be metame the hamainoi, which means the gartel is going to become a rishon l'tuma. And rishon l'tuma, as we've had many, many times already before, is only metame oichel and amashkin. It's not metame odom v'kelim. And so therefore, the koyin will remain to our v'kudosh, and just his gartel will become tameh.
Is it Tumas Hesis, like a Masa Mag? Is a Sheretz Metame?
You're asking a very good question. Freitach Rashi, why don't you say that the coin should become Tomei al Tumas Masa? Efet Rashi, because Sheretz is only Metame Maga, it's not Metame Masa, so even though he's carrying it, he won't become Tomei from carrying it. Very good. I mean, but Rashi, that's the long Rashi in the Mishnah that goes through the Abba Tumar Rishon Tumar Maga Masa Zayezer Gishmak. Anyway, but back to the beginning of the Mishnah, Sheretz Shenimtza B'Migdosh Koin Moitziyoy B'Hamaynoy. Let him pick it up with his Avneit. Shloilishus is a Tumas, not to leave the Tumah behind. Now, what means Shloilishus is a Tumah? We'll see in a moment. Tiv Rabbi Yechim Abreik. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no, you should take it B'Tzvas Shel Eit. Shloil Rabbis is a Tumah. What you should do is you pick it up with a big wooden tongs, and this wooden tongs didn't have a clay kibble, it was Pshutik Li'Eit. Pshutik Li'Eit is not Mekabel Tumah, and therefore not only are you going to save the Kohen from becoming Tamei and the Kabbanis from becoming Tamei, you're going to save the Avnate from becoming Tamei. So why didn't Rabbi Yochanan ben Broicha agree, go and bring a Tzvashel 8? Because you didn't have Tzvashel 8 lying around over there to go and remove Shiratzim. Apparently this wasn't a daily occurrence, so they hid it somewhere in a closet. Anytime there would be a Zad dead Sheretz. So now, 25 years later, where's Taka that wooden tongue? Remember the wooden tongue somebody donated and he gave it, he even has his name on it, Zechanishma, somebody other. So now the question is, these and the wooden tongues. So Mezicht, Oibin, Intinint, and finally an hour later they find it. But in the meantime, that Sheretz is in the base of Midish. So therefore, Birch Mabreika says, Shalilishis the Tumma, we don't want the Tumma to hang around longer than necessary. So even though the Avnet is going to become Tamei, Aros, take the Sheretz out as soon as possible. Rabbi Yehuda, however, says, I'm not worried about the Shihui, because after all, the Sheretz is already dead. There's nothing you can do about it. There's no Tchias HaMaisim over here. So, it's Tomei. It's Tomei. Let's wait until we get at Tzvashel 8. Shalei l'rabis is a Tumah, not to expand the Tumah from the Sheretz to the Hamainoi to the Avnet.
Is it Pshutikli 8, or is it just considered to be like...
It's Pshutikli 8, therefore it's not Mekabel Tumah.
But
so,
if it's already a utensil...
And if it be, so then it would become Tamei too. So if you Lamasa, then you go and say, so I'm not concerned that it becomes Tamei, because after all, it's not a Klei Shoriz, it's not a big Dekuna. But why does the Mishnah give the example of Tzvashel 8? Because it said Tzvashel Matres. See, Dafka wants that nothing should become Tamei, even Stamazai. So
maybe like, if it had it was in the middle of something, then it was...
Didn't have anything in the middle. It was just one of these folding things. You picked it up. And you threw out the sheretz, but it is something.
Does it have shame kli?
It's not a problem kli. It has to have a kli kibble. Pshute klei eight, so not mekabel tum. It's a kli. We're not saying that it's not a kli. Pshute klei eight, but it's pshute. It's flat. Anyway, why is the difference between if it's clay kibble or not? Because it says in the pasuk sak, etc., and has to be metal tum olivereik, and it has to go and fill something up. All right, that's beyond our sugina. But anyway, so what's the machloek between Rabbi Yochanan ben Broicha and Rabbi Yehuda? As we'll see in the Gemara, am I more concerned about shihui tuma or riboy tuma? Rabbi Yochanan ben Broicha says, I don't want to have shihui tuma. I don't want tuma lying around more than necessary. I want to get it out as soon as possible. Evict, reject, eject this tuma. While Rabbi Yehuda says, I'm not considered about shihui, I'm more considered about riboy. Riboy means spreading the tuma to other objects and things. We'll talk about this more in the Gemara. Just stay tuned for the Gemara. Next article. Mehechen Moitzino, I said, where is the major concern that I have to get rid of this sheretz? Min hechel, umin ulam, umibein ha'ulam v'la mizbech. The hechel, of course, as we know, where they had that special mizbech hazav, which was only used for purposes of the ketores, or on Yom Kippur for doing the zrikos, or during the year when you had a rare occasion when they had the Par Helm Dovr Shel Tzibor, or the Par Koine Mashiach, which were among the Chatois HaPnimiyois. So then you use the Heichal. The Ulam, of course, was the passageway, the corridor from the Azara into the Ulam. And according to many of the Tanam and Amiroim, Ulam and Heichal are Kedusha Achasi. And so therefore, this is very holy. Get the shiratzim out. And ubeinu ulam ala mizbeach, that portion of the azara, which is not where the Yisraelim were able to stand the 11 amis where the Yisraelim were, but it's on the other side of the mizbeach, that side which leads you towards the ulam. There too, you got to get rid of the tumin ulam ala mizbeach. However, in every other one of the parts of the azara, we'll see in the Mishnah in another moment, you don't remove the tumah, you leave it there, but you do a cover-up. You put over it a kli that nobody should go and touch it, and no carbon should touch it. We'll see in another moment
we
in the Mishnah.
We had something like that.
Chometz.
Everything that we have in the Mishnah, we repeat from time
chometz
to time.
Cover-up.
Yeah, cover-up. But this is in Bismigdish. The whole Kabbalah of the Klimachon is a Shvus, and Shvus Bismigdish. Divrib Shimon ben Nanis. Rabbi Kiva Oimer, Kol Mokshim Shechayov, and Al Zdoine Kores, Vashigosei Chatzis, Misham Moitzian Oisai. Wherever, if a person were to come in Betumah, or he brings in a Dover Tomei, which is Metameh, if he did it Bimezid, he would be Chayiv Kores. If he did it Beshoig, he would be Chayiv Harum Chatos. From there, Moitzian Oisai. So what is Rabbi Kiva coming to include? Says Rashi, to include the rest of the Azara, not only Beinu Ulam the Hamizbeach, but the rest of the Azara, which is the front part of the Mizbeach, where the Yisraelim were able to stand when they were watching the Kabbanis, etc. So the entire Azara, the Gan Tzabak al Mi mikol kol, the whole azara, shom etzinoi, so you have to get rid of it, take it out. V'shar kol mekoymois, shar mekoymois explains Rashi, means each one lishitos soy. According to Bshim Benanis, that you only take it out from select areas, like the heichon, the ulam, and ben ulam mizbeach, since then the rest of the azara is shar kol mekoymois. While according to Rabbi Akiva, shar kol mekoymois is referring to the lishachos, the lishka, lishka gaz, lishka tloim, lishka tadis, lishka shamitzeroim, all the various lishachos that they had, that there, shar kol mekoymois, koyfen ola psachter. Psachter, says Rashi, means a large pot or a large bowl made out of nechoshes, made out of copper. You'd go and put that on top of the sheret for the rest of the Shabbos. So now, until this point of the Shal Kol Mekoymos, the first part of the Mishnah is really even talking about during the week. That during the week, when you have a sheret in the Beis Medrash, get it out. How do you get it out? You don't want the coin to become tummy, so don't take it with your fingers. So can you take it with a gartel? Should you take it with a tzva shel eight? That was the machloek, Rabbi Yechon Abroika and Rabbi Yehuda. So it's talking about even during the week. So where does it come in Mesechtes Erev and Mesechtes Shabbos, the Gabi Hilchos Muktzah? We're talking about starting with the Shal Kol Mekoymos. So now, since I'm not allowed to go and remove it from anywhere else, why don't I not allowed to remove it? Because there is no din of Tumas Machne, either in the rest of the Azara, or according to Rebbe Kiva, in the Lishalchos. So I can't pick it up, because there's no din of Tumas Machne. But on the other hand, I don't want anything to become Tomei. Also, it's repulsive to have a Sheretz in a Mokam Mikdash, and it's Mokta on Shabbos. So he said, you know what? Go and be Koifel of Psachta. See, even though normally, of course, ain't Shavus Mikdash, but we said already, certain Shavus and Gedolim, this wouldn't apply. And do Abed Chanaitse. My eight says I just covered up, so I covered up. I come Vatakel Mechana. Apparently, this is a lighter Shavus, and therefore they said it's a man more like a Chevy Altasa. Cover it over and don't pick it up, don't remove it, leave it there.
As it's Noshim, you're not Chayv Kodes. If you go there Betumah, that's what it comes out.
As I come twice, yeah.
I don't remember it. That's all.
Okay, if you look at Rashi, the second wide line, where Rabbi Kiva says, Kol Mokim Shechayov and Azoinik Kares, Imi Konos Le Betumah, Dehainu Kula Azara. Azara means Az Yisrael. Normally means Az Yisrael. Okay, Mitch, and we get back to Tomid and Midas. We'll talk about these halachas further.
This is similar to the Mishnah where they cover the Kohen covers his hand.
Yeah.
Because it looks ugly.
That was the, we had yesterday, by putting on the right, gemi on top of the, if he has a wound.
Right, so it's that's similar to this, just so it should look nice. It's
passing the avodah.
Okay.
Here's the coin. You're passing.
No, it's the hand. You can't. It's the hand that's not the.
The back of the hand.
Look nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Zohar, you're saying, it's only that
he was making a backhanded comment. Was up there?
The Zohar is that just a small Ezra's Israel.
Ezra's Israel is quite large.
Area.
The first 11 Amis.
Yeah.
That's where the Eden was standing, and that's already 22 feet,
yeah.
And it's not just 11 hours in this direction, but you have from here to here, which I think like a 50 or maybe wider. Anyway, it's quite wide. You're thinking of the Mishkan. I think the guy with the Mishkan, I think it was 100 wide, and then it was 187 deep from the beginning to end. Okay, so Mishkan. No, it's okay. Look at Mesechta's Midas. Anyway, the most important Mesechta is Mesechta's Midas. Very important Mesechta. But getting back to, right? Tarti Mashma. But getting back to our Mishnah. So now we've covered the Inyan of Shrotzim, and we've done a major cover-up.
We've covered them,
and now we're up to Reb Shimon. Now exactly what Reb Shimon is referring to is a bit of a mystery as we're learning the Mishnah, and Rashi perpetuates the mystery. He says, Mefarish b'gemara hechakoi. What is Reb Shimon talking about? And Mitch, we leave that for tomorrow, but that's episode below them for more besides the Siyim. So it's Reb Shimon. Oimer, mokrib shetir lecha chomim, misha lecha, nosnu lecha, shleitir lecha, el mishum shvus. What is Reb Shimon saying? Reb Shimon is not saying something very, very philosophical. Rather, Reb Shimon is telling us the devil boshit. We've gone through a whole series of Mishnayos where we see that there's a difference between the Mikdash and the Medina, and we're saying, what's going on over here? Says Reb Shimon, it's not so profound, it's easy to understand. The Chum were not matter any deirises. There was every single case, it was a Shvus. The Shvus is something that the Chum themselves instituted. So just like they initiated, instituted the, all these gzeiras, hey mamru v'hey mamru, that they made in their rules, they made the exceptions to the rule. So those are Reb Shimon. Mokim shetil l'chacham. When the chum were matter, why were they matter? Because mishalacha nosnu l'cha. Things that belong to you, they return to you. Meaning that had it not been for the gzeir of the chum, you'd have been allowed to do these things l'chapchila. Chomer Machmir, and they made Chomeris, they made Shmusim. So now they remove them. The only thing they were matter, not the Shmus. So what you originally had a heter before the Chom made the Gzeirois, so now the Chom just restored it back to you. Which you have, Mokshe Tirlecha, Mishulcha Nosan Lecha. They gave you back what belongs to you. Anyway, give him a hand. He said a very beautiful verse, and Mi'atshem will see tomorrow what Rabbi Shimon is referring to. Is he referring to the Shratzim? Is he referring to the Galgalim? Is he referring to the Kain Shalokha Be'etzvah? Mi'atshem will see in tomorrow's Gemara. But first, before we get there, we have to go back to the sugya of Shratzim. As Omer of Tobi Bar Kisna Omer Shmuel Hamachnis to make Sheretz Lamikdash Chayiv Sheretz Atzmoy is Potur. If you bring in a kli which became Tomei B'Sheretz, Sheretz went and touched one of your metal pots or pans, you brought it into the Beis Midrash, it had a tumma of a Rishon L'tumma, it touched a Sheretz, you're Chayiv. What's the Isser? The Gemara is going to tell you Mizochah B'Anikivet Shaleichu, that's not a lav, that's an essay. But the pasuk continues, V'lo Yitamu Es Machaneya Mashani Shoichem B'Soichem, you're bringing in your Machane Shechina, you're bringing Tomedike Kelim, those Tomenish, because you're being Metama Machaneya by bringing in tumma. So now I would think, Ma, doch we going to bring the kli, then you're chayiv. Is the chabad if you bring the sheretz atzmai the avia voice, nishka avia voice? I'm saying avatuma.
The dead sheretz.
I would think you're no. There's potter. Of course, it's ironic. It's counterintuitive that the tolda is more chomer than the av. Yofa koyach haben mi koyach av. Frankly, we might have a taka. Where do you take this from? Omer Rav Hashem Pasi mizach mi'anakev tishalecho michutz lemachane tishalchem. Now, why does the Pasi have to focus on zocher and nekeva? Mishiyesh letar b'mikva. Just like a zocher and nekeva can go into the mikva and remove their toma. Shiyata sheretz shein letara. If you have a sheretz and the sheretz is dead and you put him to the mikvah, it doesn't work. Exactly. Now the sheretz is the sheretz of zichalein biyodei. Anyway, salamas sheretz came matar in the mikvah and some zochav anakeva from name lemon. It has to be something which is roy litvila. And when you have a metal kli, it's a roy litvila. So if you bring in the metal kli which is tama, you're chayiv. You bring the sheretz itself, you're pot. So tomorrow they must say, let's bring it right.
So if we're in a kli cheres, that would be
different. Kli cheres, you're off the hook. There is no din of kli cheres, which is tomei. My time, what's the reason why? Lamishim the less late arba mikvah l'chor for the very same reason. Oh, samtaka bring a zira shena raya, that just like I learned from Mizrach v'anakeva, la'afuki kli cheres, and that's why kli cheres, which was tomei. If you brought it into the Beis Hamikdash, you're potur. That's why if you bring in the sheretz atzmi, it's potur, because both of them are not roi to metayer in a mikvah l'chayra, a starker rai. Every more light, that's not the reason. The reason is mishenasa abatuma, yotz klicheres shena nasa abatuma. A klicheres can never become an abatuma, it can only become a rishon l'tuma. How do all other kelim become abatuma? Normally all other kelim also only become a rishon l'tuma. If a kli, for instance, touches a dead sheretz or a dead nevela, it becomes a rishon. How does another kli become an abatuma? So Rashi said there are two ways it can become an abatuma. Number one, it could be through a tumas medris, because if a zav sits on a kli, that kli gets the same tumma as the zav himself or herself. It's a bezava, and so therefore, just like they're an avatumma, the kli becomes an avatumma. So why don't you say the same thing if they sit down on a kli cheres, that the kli cheres should become an avatumma? So it's Rashi based on another gemara, because by a kli cheres we're concerned shema yishover. If a person were to sit on it, especially if Pappas Ben Yehuda sat down on it, then what would happen? The whole thing would plot, because a kli cheres is much more fragile and delicate than a kli which is made out of either wood or made out of metal, and therefore it's not mekambel tumas medris. Yet it would have the din of maga dusyor if you touch it. So you don't have to touch it with your fingers; you can touch it with your behind by sitting on it. But it wouldn't get a din of tumas medris.
Which tuma the keli has, really? If the tele has a tumas sheretz, it can never become an avatuma.
Well, one second. The Gemara is telling us this, that every kli other than a kli cheres can become an avatuma. cow through a tumas medrash, and if a zav or a zava, yeletis, metzoyra, etc., sit on it, just like they are an avatuma, then the medrash is also an avatuma. However, by a kli cheres is no din of tumas medrash, because it's the type of kli that people don't sit on because it's going to break, therefore the din of tumas medrash does not apply. That's number one. Number two, why don't you go and talk about it if it touches an aviyah voisatumah, if it touches a tumitik person. And you don't have to come on to the din of kli cheres, that, not kli cheres, that, what were you saying before? Kharab hari kucholol, you don't have to say that. Kharab hari kucholol is to go and convert this metal kli, not only into an avatumah, but you have the din of an aviyah voisatumah. We're not worried about aviyah voisatumah. We're only worried about an avatumah. Our Gemara said that the reason why a kli cheres, there's no problem in bringing a tumitik kli cheres, in the basic English, because it's got to be something which is mishanasa av hatuma. So how does a normal kli become an avatuma from an avia voisatuma? If you have the avia voisatuma touches, in other words, if you have a dead mess, and any type of kli touches it, even without the benefit of a chalal. Take for instance, chalal, this is only maximum by cherevari chalal, is only by a kli matchas. But now you have a kli eight, which is has a kli kibbel, it would be mekabel tuma, it would become an avatuma. Masha enkein the gabi kli cheres, if it touches the mess, it does not become an avatuma. Well, how do you know? Where do you know this from? So Rashi says, because in last week's parasha, beginning of parasha's Chukas, it says that the person that has to, what happens to a person that becomes an avatuma by a mess? An avatuma has to have the paraduma water b'shlishi b'shvi. And then it says after the shvi, what happens? V'chitoy b'yoy mashvi. What means v'chitoy? He claps al chet shizah. Rashi says v'chitoy means he has to go to the mikvah. Yotzeh, that you can't go to the mikvah. What can't go to the mikvah? The sheretz can't go to the mikvah, and the kli cheres can't. Why can't the kli cheres go? Because you have to have the shvira to go mitayer the kli cheres. So that's the reason why. Says the Gemara Nochamu, we thought I have a good raya that sheretz atzmi is potter. Why? Because mizachavan akiv to shalechol, and that's the same reason by a kli cheres. No, my time lamishin less later, but mikra, that's not the reason. By mishinasa avatuma, you have to kli cheres and anasa avatuma. Why can't the kli cheres become anasa avatuma? It can't have a tumas medrash because people don't sit on it because it's gonna break, and even if a person would sit on it, it's not matama tumas medrash, and it also cannot become an avatuma through maga of a mess, because maga of a mess only makes something to an avatuma. If after the shlishi ushvi you can have a tahar in a mikveh, and kli cheres can't have a tahar in a mikveh, therefore it doesn't become an avatuma. Therefore, you put. But the ma'aseh has nothing to do with the sheretz. The sheretz is an avatuma, so the choira maybe is still chayiv. So you have no raya from the case of kli cheres. So to Malevi Kitanoi, let us say that this is good and machloikis in our Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah Sheretz in the Mikdash, Koyim Oitzi, Ben Mamai, Nishlo Elishis, the Tom, Dib Rebbe Yerchem, and Breik, if you know him, if it's a Bishal Eitzi, I'm taking with that tongues, Oitzi, Shlo Elishis, the Tom, my Labo, Akim, if you get a man, the Omer, Shlo Elishis, Kosev, and Machlo, Shlo Mikdash, is Chayiv. Rebbe Yerchem, and Breik says, you're not allowed to bring a Sheretz into the Mikdash, you're Chayiv. So therefore, if you find a dead Sheretz, Aros, take it out as quickly as possible. Shaloi lishis is atum. Mashenki madema shaloi l'rabis kosavar. Hamashenki mamikdash is potter. It's not a nice thing to do. We're not recommending it. But if you did it, there's no iser involved. If there's no iser, if it's already dead, leave it there until you get your tongues. You don't have to rush and take it out. Can slaz it. So l'chori this halach hamashenki mamikdash tus alein does the machlekes in the mishnah. So the malai. It's kuli amachayv. Can't let everybody hold you. Not allowed to bring in shrots and into the mishnah. You should be bringing in your chayev. Nothing to do with that. It has to do with no person brought in a dead sheretz into the mikdash. The sheretz was already dead on arrival. Arrival when the people came in, they saw do I take the sheretz? You have to remove it now. So what is better? Is it better to leave it there a couple of extra minutes until you find your wooden tongs? Or is it better to go metame the hamainai so that you don't have tumah there longer than is absolutely necessary? But it has nothing to do with our shaykh. The Jumalakari tonight, so the Khari is the following tonight. Didn't that? We learned the Mishnah.
Tomorrow, yeah.
No, tomorrow we also have to have time for the Seder. Okay. That day we have to be married by the Lid Sassen. El Lakani tonight. We're going to learn like another machlektsina. Where's the other machlektsina? Did not mehecha maitzinoi. This is according to the Mishnah. Mehecha maitzinoi say, where do you take this sheretz out from? So you had a machlektsis, whether it's the whole azara or just in the hecha, but the ulam lamizbeach, etc. So what's the machlektsis? My labar kalitzki. The man yom mi azara loy kasaver hamachnesheretz hamikdash is potter. The one that says that it's only in certain spots in the base of Midrash, there you got to be makpid, but you don't have to be makpid in the azara. The fact that you find shrots in the azara, kitzlozi shrots in the azara, nishkefela. Why is nishkefela? Because the older mouth doesn't make you potter. So nishkefela, you can find it even if you brought the sherets in your potter. Nishkefela. No, you're chayv every moment, everywhere, wherever you ever find the sherets, aros, aros, aros. And therefore you have to take it out of everywhere, because the din of Litamul Machaneim, Machnishchina includes the azara. It's not just talking about the heichal. The ganze base midish says he more Rabbi Yochanan. No, the emes and kenzan. Everybody holds the machlokes sheretz is chayiv. Why is there machlokes bazoro the regular base midish? Ushnei mikra echad dorshu. Both of them darsh in the same pasuk. What is the pasuk? It says in the pasuk, "Vayevoy akehanim lepnima beis Hashem letayir v'yitzias kol atuma asher matzu beheichal Hashem." Now this is not talking about shrotzim. This is talking about avodah zara, rachmana litzlan, that was put up at various times by some of the terrible malchei Yisrael, rachmana litzlan, or by the goyim. And therefore, now it's time to go and remove all this avodah zara. So, now, what's a chatzar beis Hashem? Rashi says that's the azara. Once it hit the azara, then the kahanim said sayonara. They left the scene. Now the levim took over. So we had a changing of the guard inside the base of Midrash proper. The says, in other words, the heichal and the ulam and bein hamizbeach, blah blah, the ulam that the kahanim did. Once it hit the rest of the azara, levim, you take over. Is the choira? What's the machlokes? Mars of Midrash Dani ba'azara b'levim tum vazara leka. Since the kahanim said we're out of here, let the levim take over, Zaytichos is no longer a problem of Tumah in the Beis HaMikdash, and so therefore we're kahanim, we're relieved, we already did our thing, we took out the Tumah from the Beis HaMikdash, now it's in the Azara, it's not our problem, levim, you take it out now. Umar sobat heichad loy efshir the levim mafki kahanim hashdi efshir levim sulamatami kahanim. So no, the other man Yama holds that the Tumah applies in the Azara as well. However, the kahanim can drezach in God's base of Midrash, but the Levim or the Yisraelim cannot drezach everywhere. So therefore, as far as the Kahanim are able to go in the Heichel, in the Ulam, Beinu Ulam is Beach, only Kahanim, but there's a big sign there that trespassing prohibited to any Zor, to any Yisrael, and to any Levi. So where the Kahanim were able to drezach, they took it out themselves. And the rest of the Zor are where Levim and Yisraelim can go, okay, Levim, you take over from here. So therefore, that's the base of the Machloikas in our Mishnah, when the Sheretz is Metame, and the problem is everywhere, or only in certain special places in the Mishnah.